Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast. This is your episode for Thursday, January 18th, after another confounding loss by what is becoming a confounding team, the Detroit Pistons. This is your host, Matt Shook. You can find me on Twitter at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. I've been following the team my whole life, grew up in the Detroit area, and I've been a professional journalist for the past 12, 13, 14 years or so since graduating from Central Michigan. And you can also follow us on Locked On Pistons, the Twitter account there. And we got a Facebook page now, so you can follow us on Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook as well. Today we're going to be taking a look inside the Toronto Raptors loss on Wednesday by the Detroit Pistons on the road. And then we're going to take a little bit deeper look inside the game on Wednesday night and see what it says about the Pistons. And then maybe even go a step further and tie in why it's so hard to fix this team or even draw solutions about this team right now, even though we're halfway through the season and what has been kind of a roller coaster ride of a season for the Detroit Pistons. And of course, your Detroit Pistons fans and Detroit Pistons podcast hosts. But as you know, and as I've been telling you, sports jerseys are expensive and have a short shelf life. The season you invest in one, you know that guy is getting traded soon. Well, Rep the Squad is your answer for all of this. A mail-in jersey subscription service for authentic jerseys, not the cheap one. It's genius. And Detroit is one of their initial markets. They have invested in the D. So switch between your favorite styles and stars whenever you like. Theo Riddick, Kenny Galladay, Calvin Johnson's platinum jersey, Drummond in blue, Drummond in white, Isaiah Thomas, Reggie Jackson in blue, they are all on there. New jerseys arrive fresh and clean in 2 to 3 days. It's like the old Netflix system, but for authentic jerseys instead. They send you the shipping package information that you need. It's all real easy, and it's just plug and play for you guys there. Perfect for your kids who are going to grow out of them anyways. Cancel anytime, and it's a great gift idea as gift subscriptions are available. The perfect gift for the sports fan in your life. Promo code LOCKED, that's L-O-C-K-E-D, for 2 weeks free. Again, promo code LOCKED at the website repthesquad.com. I'm encouraging you to do this. Support this podcast, this free podcast, might I add, and enjoy this fine product and rep the squad this season. But as I mentioned, the Pistons lose 96-91 to the Toronto Raptors, falling to 22-21 on the season. We are now down with a half a season plus one game so far this year, and we are basically right back to where we started on October 18th with the Pistons sitting at one game above 500, just like they were after that first game against the Charlotte Hornets in the opener at Little Caesars Arena, the first ever basketball game at Little Caesars Arena, by the way. Andre Drummond had 25 points and 17 rebounds in the loss. The Pistons have now lost 7 of their 8 road games recently. Avery Bradley had 19 points. Tobias Harris had 12 points, and Langston Galloway had 11. Yes, Langston Galloway, that Langston Galloway. He is alive and well, and he had 11 points off the bench. As I mentioned, they needed to find him probably even earlier than they did so far. They gave him a chance. He fired up some threes and knocked down some and had a strong contribution to what was at times a very good effort for the Pistons, except for the very beginning of the game and the very end of the game, and we'll talk about that extensively on today's podcast. The Pistons are now 8th place in the Eastern Conference, barely hanging on by a half a game over the Philadelphia 76ers to the final playoff spot in the Eastern Conference. But if you're looking at more of an optimistic view, they are still just only two games out of the 5th spot in the playoffs, and one of those teams, the 5th place team, the Washington Wizards, they will see on Friday night. Stan Van Gundy talked about the bad defense that the Pistons had in the first quarter on Wednesday night against the Pistons, and I thought it wasn't effort that was the problem, which may have been the issue in the recent defensive lull, that it was kind of an effort issue for the Pistons, but I'll break down what I thought were some of the problems on Wednesday night a little bit later. But the Pistons forced 21 turnovers, so obviously they were doing something right defensively throughout most of the game on Wednesday night, one of the main problems was they were 7 of 15 from the free throw line. You can't win a lot of NBA games by making less than half of your free throws there. For Toronto, Jonas Valanciunas, he had 17 points and 16 rebounds inside. Pistons held Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan, the all-star backcourt for the Raptors, to not great games for their standards. 18 points for Lowry, 17 for DeRozan, who's blossomed into a superstar this year, but still, Pistons couldn't get it done north of the border. But up next is a home game on Friday night, ESPN. The Washington Wizards come to town to Detroit, followed by you got Brooklyn on Sunday, you got home on Wednesday against Utah, and then home on Saturday for the Oklahoma City Thunder. So four straight games at Little Caesars Arena for the Pistons. The Wizards have lost two in a row and four of six, so this is a team that's ripe for the taking, and the Pistons have lost both of their games on the road this year against the Wizards this season and really need a good win against a good team right now, and they will have their chance on national television on Friday night against John Wall, Brad Beal, and the Washington Wizards. But we're going to give some examples from this game on why it's so hard to put a finger on what's wrong with these Pistons and why I'm so frustrated because I can't come up with some firm, concise analysis to pass along to you guys about what they need to be doing differently. But if your company is interested in men between the ages of 18 and 44, then your company should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Pistons is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 to 44. So if you want men in that coveted 18 to 44 demo, this is your spot. Plus, our rates are reasonable. So email me at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more.
Yes, sir!
You are listening to Locked On Pistons with your host, Matt Shook, and now, after weeks of wondering what's wrong with this team, the Detroit Pistons' effort and defense, they kind of brought it on Wednesday, I thought, only to not have the necessary offense down the stretch when they needed it in Toronto against the Raptors. They had hustle plays in the first quarter. Everything was going wrong on both ends of the floor for the Pistons, but I thought that they were scrapping and doing everything they needed to do in terms of the effort meter. Despite everything else that was going wrong, they were just missing shots offensively at inopportune times, and that was the reason that the Raptors were able to get out to that 15 point lead, and some of the defensive mistakes that they made weren't necessarily effort-based. You had Reggie Bullock very early missing a layup in the lane. You had Ish Smith with a few jump shots that should have gone down that were open inside that 15-foot range. Missed bunnies by Tobias Harris and Andre Drummond early on. Another in-the-lane shot by Tobias that got all backboard that was contested. Avery Bradley missed a fast-break layup. How many fast-break layups and dunks can one guy miss in a season that are uncontested? It's beginning to be a joke for him. He's had like four that I can remember off the top of my head. Dunks and just, you know, embarrassingly missed layups that are full court with nobody behind him and nobody even in his vicinity. I remember that one that he had against the Raptors. Drummond was there to clean it up and knock it back in, but still, Avery missed some more makeable shots early on as well. It wasn't effort; it's just kind of a lack of slam dunk offensive talent that we've known about. I mean, we know this team doesn't have that go to scorer that Tobias Harris should be and hasn't quite grown into. Like I said, the effort was there. We had Andre Drummond was diving on the floor on the defensive end for a loose ball. He was hustling for offensive rebounds, getting down on the floor for those as well, and we had Tobias Harris had C.J. Miles on an inbound pass and followed him on a screen at the top of the key, and it went for an easy layup. So C.J. Miles lost him there and kind of went in free, got a layup off of that. And it's pretty embarrassing to see those kind of things at the NBA level. Chase him around the screen at the top of the key, and that's an egregious error if that's against the team's defensive principles about where they're supposed to be when they're following on the court when you follow screens, and also who you're supposed to follow screens when you're defending against. And even if it is something that was a huge mistake by Tobias Harris when he wasn't doing what he was supposed to, and I don't know that off the top of my head if it is or isn't, it's even more egregious that nobody else on the team noticed that this was happening and covered for him, showed on a hedge or anything like that, that he was just able to waltz down the lane. And again, that's not effort. That's just not being aware defensively of your surroundings. Likewise, Andre Drummond had a pass fly right by his head for it would have been an easy steal if he stuck his arm out and never even noticed it, although that pass sailed 35 feet through the air. Again, that's just not being aware. These are things that have nothing to do with hustle, and if anything, it might be, in some cases, guys trying too hard on, you know, shots around the hoop and stuff like that. It's indicative of a team that's pressing, and I think that in a way, is probably coming a little bit from Stan Van Gundy and the fact that he's harped on this team defensively, at least in the media, and I'm assuming that at practice and with team meetings and whatnot that he's giving it even worse to the guys when he's talking to them. But then, like I said, the Pistons buckled down, played some of the best defense of the season in the second quarter, and got right back into the game. But later on, during the game's defining 17-4 run by Toronto, which put the game away, with all the ugly offense the Pistons had going on, Tobias Harris did not attempt a single shot. He's the one guy who's supposed to be able to get a bucket when they need. But when it came to winning time, he hasn't been able to do that. I like Tobias. He's had a nice year. He had a fantastic first quarter of the season and still has been pretty much okay even since that time. But there's no universe where this guy is an all-star. I'm sorry. There's no way that you can argue that he's been a better player this year than Kristaps Porzingis or Brad Beal or someone like that who's also going to be on the cusp of contending for the all-star game. Tobias is a guy who isn't an impact player positively anyways defensively and hasn't stepped up in big moments offensively, which is supposed to be the side of the court, which is his calling card. The problems on both sides of the ball, I thought they were just really evident against Toronto on Wednesday night. And it kind of shows where if you're plugging the hole in this part of the dike, then it comes out on the other one. And there's just no way to keep things going and flowing and all in the right positive direction right now for this team. And I think ultimately that falls on Stan Van Gundy as the guy who constructed this roster and the guy who's trying to make it work day in and day out as the coach. And I think some of the reserves, they're showing that they're career backups and G leaguers at some point, and they're starting to get exposed even more and more as time goes on. And we're going to be talking about what's missing with this team and the conundrum of some of the players as we continue here on Locked On Pistons. All right, now thanks to everyone for your support of Locked On Pistons, but you should be also supporting Locked On Lions, as you need to know everything about the Lions' forthcoming new coach and how that process is going. So listen to Matt Derry on the Locked On Lions, our brother podcast. Follow him on all of his social media channels as well. You know Matt Derry from Detroit Radio. He's doing a great job with the Locked On Lions podcast. I listen to that every day as well. Now, I had some time on Tuesday, didn't have any work to do or anything like that, and I sat down and I tried to answer some of the big questions about the Detroit Pistons. What kind of trades does this team need to make with the deadline coming up? What kind of things do they need to improve on offensively, defensively, whatever else? Is there some personnel things that they need to address? Are there some scheme things they need to address? So I was kind of devouring all the content of all the guys I like to read, the Rod Beards of the Detroit News, Vince Ellis of the Free Press, James Edwards III of the Athletic, the Piston Powered guys, the Palace Pistons guys, the Detroit Bad Boys blog, all those guys. Everyone on Twitter, and you guys are very active on Twitter, kind of wears me out to try to catch up with some of all the tweets from Pistons Twitter on day. But I saw an interesting video that the quote-unquote backcourt of the Detroit News with Rod Beard and Bob Winowski, Bob Wojo, and John Neo. I like all three of those guys, by the way. And it was kind of a 20-minute video, and it was cool to see every Pistons fan check it out. They kind of went all directions on the conversation about where this team is at, where they're headed, et cetera, et cetera. And I think the biggest point that they made throughout it was that this team really has no identity. And at first when I heard that, it kind of put up a red flag because I'm a sports writer. I know when you don't have anything else to say, sometimes you say things like, this team has no identity. I thought it was maybe a little bit of a crutch. Some sports writers speak at first, but when you can't find a narrative to kind of pin the failures of this team on, maybe that's something you just kind of come up with and say that doesn't really mean anything at the end of the day. But they do kind of have, the team does kind of have a lack of consistency to kind of keep the good times rolling that they had from the beginning of the season. And kind of building on that, Dave Hogue, who writes as a freelancer for the Associated Press, I believe he's just a freelancer, possibly a part-timer. I've never even met Dave, but I follow him because I'm also a freelancer for the Associated Press, so I kind of like to keep tabs on some of the other writers and whatnot. Obviously, he writes about all the Detroit sports too, and he made an astute point about the Pistons, and he has been asking on Twitter lately, what are they good at? And that kind of ties into what I've been thinking about, and it kind of ties into that video as well. And like I said, you might think what my original thoughts about Rod and Wojo and John Neo and what I thought what they were saying was a negative thing, but I think they kind of hit it on the head there. No identity. What is this team good at? What are the things that they can kind of rely on? And when times get tough, I mean, if you've got a good offensive team and you know sometimes the defense isn't there, well, at least you're scoring a lot of baskets, and vice versa. If you've got a good defensive team and sometimes the offense isn't there, well, at least you know the score isn't going up on the other side. We saw that with the going to work Pistons as they kind of matured over the years, that at least the other teams were scoring in the 80s, so it wasn't all that much to figure out when you were confounding yourself and trying to figure out things offensively. Now, when the Pistons picked up Stan Van Gundy, I think it's easy to forget how much of a wasteland that this team was in. And he's in year four now, so I'm not saying that as an excuse about why this team isn't further along right now. But they had to kind of give Stan Van Gundy that front office responsibility so that they could get him. They had to kind of sweeten the deal a little bit as opposed to just being a coach. But giving them that and the front office responsibility and the coaching responsibility has proven to be too much. It's too hard for pretty much anyone to handle. You know, we've seen Doc Rivers, we've seen Budenholzer in Atlanta. We've seen all these guys kind of fall on their faces as they're trying to do all these things. And the shining example of a good way that that has kind of been implemented over the years is Greg Popovich in San Antonio. Well, first of all, there's only one Greg Popovich. And second of all, really, he's created a culture that every coach at every level and every basketball mind is trying to create with their teams. It's nothing that profound. It's just the fact that you're willing to sacrifice the individual goals, the statistics, for, you know, going for a team goal and going for as many wins as possible and gearing yourself up at the right times of season. Again, these are things that coaches at every level are trying to implement. And I think in a lot of ways, Greg Popovich just got lucky in some ways that he had David Robinson. He and Robinson got hurt the right year that Tim Duncan was coming out in the draft. And now they've stumbled upon Kawhi Leonard. To their credit, to Popovich and R.C. Buford's credit, that of course they picked Tim Duncan. Everyone would have picked him first that year. And now they acquired Kawhi Leonard in the George Hill trade. And it was a savvy move that they found out that Kawhi Leonard was going to be a top flight player. And they probably didn't even expect that he would become the player that he's come in the past couple of years. But again, what I'm saying is that Greg Popovich and the San Antonio Spurs have gotten pretty lucky in a lot of ways. Now, speaking of the Pistons, let's kind of go down a little bit of a list here. Ish Smith, we pretty much have determined that he is nothing but a backup point guard at this point. To those over the last couple of years who wanted to see him as the starter over Reggie Jackson or maybe getting more primetime minutes, well, you're getting your wish. I think we can all agree that small doses Ish is better than starting Ish. For God's sake, this guy really should be able to figure out as a veteran guard in the NBA how to knock down a three-pointer every now and then. At least he's shown on Wednesday night that he's not afraid to take them lately, which is a step in the positive direction, I guess. But the next step might be to knock one down every now and then. Again, this is the Pistons' starting point guard right now. 5 of 27 from three-point land, 18.5% on the season. There's just no place in a good NBA rotation for a guard who can't knock down threes at all, unless they can do literally everything else good offensively, like Ben Simmons, the rookie for the Philadelphia 76ers, who gets a little bit of a free pass with his shooting because, like I said, he is a rookie on a team that's not trying to really win. Or they are trying to win now, but they're not a team who's built to win right now. That's a team that's looking ahead years down the road, even though they're only a half game behind the Pistons, as we mentioned, for that last spot in the Eastern Conference playoffs. Now, Avery Bradley. I'm going to go as far to say that I think offensively he seems to shrink when the team needs him. On Wednesday night, the Pistons got the lead down to 7. They were rolling along in the second quarter, and he missed 2 free throws when the team was running and trying to make a run, playing great defense, and couldn't get enough going offensively to get and take the lead. Now, sometimes certain shots throughout a game mean more, and I thought that that was significant. The strong defense continued for the Pistons in that second quarter to keep it going, and the run did continue, and they continued chipping away at that lead. But those 2 free throw misses were kind of air out of the moment kind of misses that the Pistons really can't have. I think early in the season when Stan Van Gundy had some chances to draw up some plays in late-game situations, Avery Bradley's pretty much missed all of those. I was at the game in Milwaukee when he had a chance to get one in the corner, and they couldn't even get the pass together to him. The corner three against New Orleans stands out as well. It seems like when they've needed him most, he hasn't been able to step up in the clutch. And I want to point to a tweet that I saw from one of the Pistons Twitter guys that I enjoy, Ku Khalil, on Twitter. That's Ku Khahil. You should give him a follow. He says, Avery Bradley, when the Pistons are up 1 to 5 points, his true shooting percentage drops from his year average of 50.7% to 41.7%. His turnover ratio, which is always seems to be pretty high, goes from 12.0 to 15.1, so that raises as well. His effective field goal percentage goes from 48.4 to 39.6. Effective field goal percentage is pretty much throwing in three-point percentages in there as well. And he goes on to say, I'm not a big analytical guy, but this doesn't look good. I think that we've seen from Avery Bradley that he struggled a lot offensively, all the numbers that we like to throw out about the five-man units that he's in and whatnot. But I think that if you look at the clutch moments, the moments when we need Avery Bradley to step up, some of these games lately that he's been the guy who's been shooting the most and hasn't been efficient at all, I think that you got to make some hard decisions with him. On one hand, maybe you let him go this summer, but on the other hand, then what? You give up an asset like Marcus Morris, who's a pretty good player and certainly a great contract, for a 1-year rental on a middling team that wasn't really going anywhere anyway. That's not a great long-term move, but it might be the kind of decision that Stan Van Gundy needs to make, and not the ones that he's proven to make lately, where sometimes he'll pick up a player and give him a longer extension, like Reggie Jackson, so to speak, and kind of compound his one, you know, questionable-ish move with the trade of getting him as their team leader and team point guard and bringing him on long-term. Now, I think injuries have been the biggest issue with Reggie Jackson during his big contract, but again, there's no way you can slice Stan Van Gundy's 5-year, $80 million contract of Reggie Jackson as anything other than a failure based on the lack of success the team has had since that time. I think that when the Pistons acquired Avery Bradley, they were testing his career a little bit and giving him a chance on this roster to show whether he could be a first or second option on a pretty good team. And I think we're finding out that the answer is a resounding no right there. And when you got guys like Ish Smith and Reggie Bullock, we're seeing why these guys aren't starting players and why Dwight Bikes hasn't been an NBA rotational guy. And I think they should continue to give him chances, but Bikes has struggled as of late. I think we were all kind of blinded by Reggie Bullock's hot three-point shooting when he stepped into the starting role. Well, that comes and goes for a guy like him who's not certainly not an excellent shooter and hasn't proven to be one throughout his career. And he doesn't have enough other offensive or defensive skills for anyone to believe that he's a long-term NBA starter. If he's going to be your answer at the small forward position as far as a guy in the first and fourth quarters, that's going to be problematic for this team throughout the rest of the season. Anthony Tolliver, he's still doing great in his role, had another great game against the Raptors on Wednesday night, but he's not really stepping up into a new and bigger role, which is something I talked about when the injuries came about to John Lohr. Don't make him a starter. Don't play him 35 minutes a game. I'm not saying anything against guys like Anthony Tolliver and Ish Smith and really Reggie Bullock either, but that's what they are. They're bench players. And if it makes any sense, it can be a pretty good bench if you keep those guys in those roles, but none of those guys are good enough to step up and play more significant roles. Ish Smith, Reggie Bullock, Anthony Tolliver. And it might be counterintuitive to say that you have some depth, but those guys can't step up into bigger roles. But I think that they're solid, effective bench players. You could probably throw Langston Galloway into that mix as well. But going on, I think we need to see more from Tobias Harris offensively when it matters. It's almost a broken record when we see how good he is in the first quarter of some games, and that's great, but I'd love to see Tobias for once have a great fourth quarter when the game is in balance. Now, with the trade deadline, I just don't see how there could be a deal that fixes all the problems this team has. I'm not saying fans or myself we're going to give up on this season because there's a lot of home games coming up. There's some chances to move up in the weak Eastern Conference, but I just don't think this team is worth mortgaging any real future asset for it. Now, the only caveat I'll throw onto that is unless teams are higher than Stan Van Gundy is on Stanley Johnson and you can get some real value for him, then you might do that. And you might even be able to shed some salary with him as Stanley Johnson is the main asset in a trade and maybe pick up a rotation contributor along the way in some kind of deal. And I'm not saying that Stanley Johnson's career doesn't blossom in another situation, but I think I'm seeing that it might just not be happening here in Detroit, and it might have something to do with the relationship with Stan Van Gundy going forward. We might look as foolish someday as Orlando looked, giving up Tobias Harris to us for nothing, but that might be your only option of an asset that has some value that you're willing to part with that might turn into some help this year. And by the way, speaking of Stanley Johnson, I wanted to pass along, Jeff Seidel had a nice column in Tuesday's Detroit Free Press. I don't think he's a great sports columnist, but he's a great storyteller. And Stanley's doing some good in the city of Detroit with a mentorship program connecting teens with cops in the city of Detroit. And it's just some good stuff. So you should check that out. That was a nice read there. But also remember, you should be repping the squad. So go to repthesquad.com, the jersey subscription service. You want the fresh Drummond gear. You want the Reggie Jackson gear. You want Grant Hill's teal jersey. Isaiah Thomas, get ready for Lions season next year as well. Get that cornbread nice and buttered and ready for the new coach. But Rep the Squad is your answer for all of this. It's a great jersey subscription service, great friend of the podcast, and you should definitely be signing up with them. Promo code LOCKED, LOCKED, at RepTheSquad.com. Again, use promo code LOCKED so they know who sent you and we get the credit for that sale as well. But the tomorrow's podcast for Friday, we'll be looking ahead to the Washington Wizards. The Pistons also host the Brooklyn Nets over the weekend as well at Little Caesars Arena, back home with a chance to maybe get hot a little bit here as the trade deadline and the springtime approaches. And the spring's not too soon, I know, with the Michigan weather. I don't want to get us too excited about the springtime coming. But you should also be following following the Locked On NBA Network on Twitter at Locked On NBA Net, and follow us on Facebook at the Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook page as well. So thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll talk to you all again very soon.